Okay, Rabotai, just one quick word on the day of Hanukkah, the days of Hanukkah that we're involved in. So as you know, the famous question of the Beit Yosef, Rabbi Yosef Karo. In the yeshivot, we don't even have to say the question. You just say the question of the Beit Yosef, and everybody knows the question. And I don't doubt our members know the question, but I'll repeat it just in case. So the Beit Yosef in Siman Tafresh Ayin in Ilchot Hanukkah asked the following question. He said, the Gemara writes that they found the Pach Shemen and the miracle lasted for 8 days. So they say, what was the miracle on the first night? They had enough for the first night, it seems. So if they had enough for the first night, there's no miracle on the first night. The miracle is on the subsequent nights. So why is it an 8-day holiday? It should be a 7-day holiday. That's the question of the Beit Yosef. Like with Yeshiva, they used to give us off on Sunday. Unofficially, the Sunday of Hanukkah, they can't tell you you can take off, because they could say, I want to tell you you can take off, but unofficially, you know, they gave you the day off. So the joke in Lakewood was the one day vacation that lasted 8 days. That's the miracle of Hanukkah in Lakewood Yeshiva. So, anyway, the Beit Yosef has the question. He offers three answers to the question. Now, there's books that have been written on this question. I have a book at home called Ner LeMe'ah, where they give 100 answers to the question. Recently, somebody showed me a book that has 500 answers to the question. So a lot of Torah came out of this over here. The reason why there's so many answers is because there is no perfect answer. Every answer is flawed. Every answer has a problem with it. So you get to every idea. Everybody's trying to angle from different ways. So one of the answers of the Beit Yosef is, he says, is that they knew that they're not going to get oil before 8 days. That they knew going in, because the factory of the oil was 4 days away. So till they send the guy there to get the new oil, till they got back, there's no Amazon Prime in those days. So they had to take an 8-day for sure. So they have one pack of oil. They don't have to stretch it for 8 days. That they knew going in. So what did they do? So the Beit Yosef says they split it in eighths. So they took an eighth of oil and they put it into the Ner.
That's the miracle.
And then, oh, so the miracle was on the first night that an eighth of oil lasted the whole night. That's exactly what the Beit Yosef says. That the miracle on the first night, they didn't use the whole jug because they knew they had to stretch it. Now when they put the eighth in, they didn't expect it to last the whole night, but they did the best as they can, and sure enough, Hashem made a miracle, and it lasted the whole night, so it was a miracle on the first night as well. But the problem with that answer, of course, is the famous rabbinical rule that says, En sumchim ala nes. You can't rely on a miracle. Hey, you have enough for one night, so light it for one night, then Allah, Allah, tomorrow, whatever happens, happens. To take an eighth, and to stick it in the menorah, and what are you expecting to happen? If it doesn't last the right amount of time, you didn't fulfill the mitzvah. So what are you relying on? Going in relying on a miracle? So it's a problem with that answer. Although there was a great rabbi called Hiddush HaRim. Hiddush HaRim says no, they weren't relying on a miracle at all. He explains the answer of the Beit Yosef and makes it a little sharper. He said that what they did also is, since they used an eighth of oil, they took the wick and they split it into eighths as well. So therefore, when you take a thinner wick with the eighth of oil, it'll last the entire night. So therefore, they were actually very, very responsible. They said, listen, we got to figure out a way to get this to last for 8 days. So we use an eighth a night, and you cut the wick into eighths, so it won't draw as much. So therefore, they were following, you know, the normal derek, which means it's a very responsible way to light the menorah. So what was the miracle, he says, in the first night? That it lit with the same brightness of a thick wick. So therefore, when they saw the brightness of the menorah, look at this, is a miracle. We're using such a thin wick with such a small amount of oil, and it looks like we're using a regular wick with the thickness and everything. So that was the miracle on the first night. Now, there's an old question. You read the Gemara. The Gemara has a big machloket in the order of how to light the menorah. It's a machloket between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. We all know that Beit Hillel says you light 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Whereas according to Beit Shammai says you light 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Now, In Beit Hillel, you don't need too much analysis. It makes sense to us. The first night, you light one candle. Today's the fifth, you light five candles. But quite a bit, Shammai, what's the rationale that he tell you on the first night you light eight? It's hard to understand the logic. And then you get to the last night, which is the climax, Zot Hanukkah, and you have one candle, you have one light. So in previous years, we explained it according to the Maharsha. The Maharsha says that he learns a little differently. He says they actually, on the first night, they put all the oil into the menorah. They filled it up. They didn't want to rely on miracles. They didn't want to rely on thin wicks. They put the whole thing in the menorah. And what happened was, when they woke up in the morning, they saw only 1/8 of the oil consumed. So when they woke up in the morning, they realized retroactively there was a miracle on the first night. That 1/8 of oil lasted the whole night. Now, they had no more oil left. So the next night, they lit it again, and another eighth went down. And then another eighth went down. So according to the Maharsha, he says that Beit Shammai is commemorating the way the miracle happened. On the first night, there were 8/8. On the second night, 7/8, 6/8, 5/8, 4/8, 3/8, 2/8, 1/8. So therefore, the 8/7/6/5 is a logic to it. It's corresponding to the miracle.
That's the miracle on the last day.
The miracle on the last day, that the Mefarshim asked. The Mefarshim asked him, what's the miracle on the last day? Well, maybe we'll give an answer to that. In any event, well, according to this, we know the miracle on the last day. There was an eighth of oil. The eighth of oil lasted the whole night. You learn like the way the Maharsha learned, the miracle was on the last day as well. That 1/8 of oil was able to last the whole night. But that's a miracle in itself. So you learn that each night was an eighth, so it's a miracle every single night, whether it's the first night or whether it's the last night. Anyway, there's another answer that we didn't say over, but we'll just say it over Derech Agav. But then I want to say the answer that I came to say today, the novel answer. The other answer they say is that Beit Shammai gives a reason for his logic. He says, "Keneged parei ha'hag." He said it corresponds to the parim of the hag. He found a precedent in the Torah where you have something that goes down. The parim of the holiday of Sukkot. On the first day of Sukkot, you bring 13, then 12, then 11, then 10, 9. As you go down. So Beit Shammai says, oh, you see, Parei Hag you go down, so therefore Hanukkah you go down. Of course, all the Mefarshim say, what's the connection? What's the connection? The stock market also goes down. So therefore, you found something that goes down, and therefore what? That becomes Ner Hanukkah. Why should that be the Yesod? What does Parei Hag have to do with the Nerot? So the Mekubalim say a big Hiddush on this. They say that everybody thinks in the Beit HaMikdash there was only one menorah. Of course, that's a mistake that we know. If anybody learns Navi, Shlomo HaMelech actually produced 10 menorot. 5 on one side, 5 on the other. There was 10 menorot that were in the Beit HaMikdash. So the Mekubalim say, why were there 10 menorot? Each menorah has 7 sticks. So altogether, there's 70 lights that they used to light in the Beit HaMikdash, which incidentally, there's the 70 bulls that they brought on Sukkot. So now already you start to see that the magic number 70 between the Nerot of the Beit HaMikdash, the 10 Menorot of Shlomo HaMelech, and the 70 Parot. Now, what's the connection? So we found 70-70. So you found the Gematria. Big deal. Yayin is also Gematria 70. The explanation is that the Zohar HaKadosh says, what's the significant why the Parim on Sukkot go down in number? Why do they decline? 13, 12, 11, 10. The 70 represent the 70 nations of the Goyim. Actually, if we could say it a little clearer, the 70 anti-Semitic nations of the Goyim. And the tikkun on Hanukkah and Sukkot is you want to diminish them. You want them to go down. So therefore, 70. The next day, 13, 12, 11. By the end of Sukkot, there's nobody left. And then at Shemini Atzeret, you bring one pod, which is Keneged Klal Yisrael, and that makes the ultimate tikkun. Now, if you wanted to understand it just in a visual, to understand what the Zohar is talking about, just go to the United Nations whenever the Security Council is in session, and you see exactly what it's talking about. The 70 nations, and the Jew in the middle over there, and the hungry wolves. Each one's a bigger despot than the next. The Sha'im Rusha'im. Idi Amin Dada was a cannibal. The guy ate people. But he gets up there against Eretz Yisrael. Against what? Human rights. The guy's a cannibal. And he's talking about human rights. He ate his mother for Saudat Shinishin. And he gets up there, and he says, but the Jews are killing the Palestinians. Anyway, so what's the point? The point is that the purpose of the Parim on Sukkot is to minimize the Goyim. Says the Mekubalim that that's the same concept why we light the 70 Nerot in the Beit HaMikdash, that those Nerot over there also have the ability to minimize the power of the Goyim. Now, it's interesting to note, The Zohar says two things. The Zohar says that the purpose of the 70 lights is to minimize the goyim. So you light 70 a day, which is to bring down the goyim. But another place the Zohar says it's to elevate the Jewish people. So we explained it like this. That since Bet Shammai, the Mekubalim right, comes from Midat Hadin, that was his neshama. Bet Hillel comes from Midat Rahamim. Bet Shammai comes from Givura. So therefore, Bet Shammai, when he looked at the menorah, he didn't see the positive that it does to Klai, said the Rahamim. He saw the Givura that it does to the goyim. So therefore, Bet Shammai compared the purpose of the menorah to the Parei Hag, which does the same purpose. It brings the Givura onto the goyim and judges. Now that Givura of the goyim brings, of course, Shefar to Bnei Israel. No different than in Mitzrayim. The 10 Makot that Hashem brought on the Egyptians actually brought us Refuah. The holy book says, Nagof v'Rafo, like the Rosh Hashem Astropoli writes in his letter, Nagof l'Mitzrayim v'Rafo l'Yisrael. That's the way they explain the famous pasuk that we said in the Tehillim today, that without this, it's hard to understand. We say in the Tehillim, Ki gavar alenu hasdo. So the rabbis say, hold it. Hesed is mercy. Gavar is givura. Those two words don't go to Ki gavar alenu hasdo. How could hasdo come with gavar? It should say, Ki natan lanu hasdo, Ki asan lanu hasdo, Ki gavar alenu hasdo. You're taking two opposite terminologies and putting it together. Explains ki gavar on the goyim, and by that givura that goes on the goyim, alenu hasdo. So therefore, Bet Shammai understands that what the purpose of the menorah when you're lighting it is to minimize the goyim ki gavar, and ultimately that brings us to hasdo. So therefore, if you want to make that's and Bet Shammai's nitzot is from givura, so therefore that's the way he understood it. So therefore, he wants to say that what we're going to compare it to Parei Hag. So there's a very very clear understanding. The 70 nerot of the Bet Hamikdash can get the 70. And it's done in a minimizing way. That's one way we can understand. So we said two ways in Bet Shammai. But now I want to say a third way. According to this answer of the Bet Yosef. According to the answer of the Bet Yosef, it's like this. Leave the Hiddush HaAriyim for a second. They took the oil and they put an eighth in. They didn't minimize the wicks. The Beit Yosef doesn't say they minimize the wicks. That's the Hiddush HaAriyim says they minimize the wicks. But if you don't go with that, you say they use the regular wicks and they put in the eighth. Now we go back to our question. En subchim al hanes. So he explained it like this. It's true, en subchim al hanes. You can't rely on a miracle. Unless either God comes to you in a dream and says you can rely on a miracle, or you have Ruach HaKodesh, or you have some indication that you can rely on a miracle. Which means you can't cross Colin's ear with your eyes closed and say, Hashem's going to make me a nes. But if Eliyahu Navi comes to you and says, listen, I'm Eliyahu Navi, and you know he's Eliyahu Navi. He says, listen, I'm telling you, close your eyes, cross Colin's ear, and you're going to get saved. So then they have no problem. I'm not so mechal nes. Eliyahu Navi told me. So I will argue today that they had an indication that Hashem's going to make them a miracle. What's the indication? They just won the war. You have the Greeks. The Greeks are a militarized army. I don't know how many thousands of them. You have a small group of Hashmonaim, maybe 13 or 15 of them all together. Barich Adonai Chelor, as she says, is Matityahu Banav. 13 or 15 people total. So you have a small band of non-professional soldiers. The Sidu doesn't lie. Don't get fooled when they say the mighty Maccabees. The Maccabees were not mighty at all. That's kifirah to say that. The Sidur says, Giborim biyad halashim. It's the weak Maccabees. Verabim biyad ma'atim. They were minimal in their numbers. And all of a sudden, go to the oddsters and ask the oddsters, who's going to win this war? The Yevanim or the Hashmonaim? They won't even take the bet. It's a sucker's bet. How are you going to tell me the Yevanim are going to lose this war? They have tanks and soldiers and armies, and you have a bunch of yeshiva guys. We're going to throw coffee on them. How are they going to fight the war? They don't know what they're doing. But Neskadol Ayasham. We listen, obviously it must be a big thing because the whole Alan Nisim is all about the war. We don't talk about it enough, but it's a tremendous. Listen, the name of the holiday is about the war. Hanukkah is Hanukkah Chafir. That's the name of the war. They rested on Chafir from the war. So you can't minimize the fact that there was a stunning upset, even more stunning than the Six-Day War or the Yom Kippur, which was stunning. The books have been written to explain those wars. They still can't figure it out. This is even bigger. You had a bunch of tzaddikim that had every odd against them, and they were able to overpower, not a country. Yavan is a malchut. It's a kingdom. Once that happened, that's like Eliyahu and Abi coming to them and telling them, this miracle's going to happen over here. So they, what's the miracle going to happen? That the little will able to overpower the lot. So that was an indication to them that the little oil, which is also minimum, will able to, if a small band of army could overpower. So they understood that in this case, it's not considered somech al anes. Already God communicated to them through the victory of the war, that already I'm interested in making miracles for you over here because of your mesirut nefesh, that you were fighting for whatever they were trying to protect. Oh, so now what happens? Listen to the way we're explaining Beit Shammai. When they came on the first night, they have a pach shemen. They knew this has to last for 8 days. They knew that. They fill it up an eighth. Now somebody says, what do you mean eighth? You're going to see a miracle tonight. You're going to see a miracle. Not only are you going to see a miracle tonight, but we're doing it like this because we're guaranteed that you're going to see a miracle for 8 days. That's the reason why they started putting an eighth in, because they were sure that Hashem is going to make a miracle for 8 days. So if according to Beit Shammai, by putting an eighth on the first night, what are they basically saying? That this is going to happen for 8 days. So they were on the first night, they're already commemorating the 8 days. And then when they put it on the second night, they're saying the miracle is going to happen for 7 more days. They were confident. So Beit Shammai, and the last day, it's going to happen for 1 more day. So with, according to Beit Shammai, you're commemorating on the first day the bitachon that they had, that this could, why were they so certain? Because they saw already the military victory. Otherwise, they wouldn't have allowed themselves to split the oil into eighths. Would allow them to split the oil because they knew that Hashem is going to make a miracle for 8 days. So going into the first day, they told everybody, Botai, you see what you're seeing here? It's going to happen 8 times. You're so sure? Of course we're so sure. Eliyahu HaNavi came to us. Bigger than Eliyahu HaNavi. So that's the sevara of, so we gave 3 sevarot to explain Beit Shammai. There's other answers, however, to the question of the Beit Yosef. The favorite answer that I love to say is from the Shabbat Shelmi, which is a beautiful answer. The Shabbat Shelmi says that you found the Pach Shemen and another Chotam of the Kohen Gadol, the seal of the Kohen Gadol. Asks the Shabbat Shelmi, what is the seal of the Kohen Gadol doing on the Pach Shemen? We take it for granted when we were young. Oh, of course, the Pach Shemen, seal of the Kohen Gadol. What, the Kohen Gadol was the Mashgiach? He gave the kashrut on the oil. He was too busy, the Kohen Gadol, doing other things. What does he have to put his seal on the oil for? The Gemara said there was a special family that was in charge of the oil. The Janko family, they were in charge of the oil. And they sold the oil in the Beit HaMikdash. And they gave the hechsher. What do you have to tell me that the Kohen Gadol put his hotam on it? It's very strange, Shabbat Shalmi says. He says, Ela must be that the Torah says that the Kohen Gadol every day had to bring a special menha. We learned the Menachot over the summer. Menachat Habitin Shel Kohen Gadol. Mahasito Baboker, Umahasito Ben Arbayim. This Mencha is made up of oil and flour. But the Torah says that where all other Menachot that come to the Beit HaMikdash, who pays for it? The Sibur. They take it from the charity and they pay for it. But the Mencha of the Kohen Gadol, he has to pay for it from his own pocket. He doesn't have to bring it. He can bring it al yedei shaliach, we learned. But he has to actually pay for it. So Shabbat Shemi says it's very plausible to say that that Pach Shem with the Chotam of the Kohen Gadol was the oil that belonged to the Kohen Gadol. It was his personal oil for the Menachat Habitin of the Kohen Gadol. Oh, if that's the case. So now we understand. How much oil is in the Menachat of the Habitin? Torah says clearly 3 log. So there was 3 log of oil in this Kohen Gadol's personal jug. They found it in his locker. How much oil goes into the menorah? Well, the 7 sticks, each stick has 0.5 log. So there's 3.5 log, he says, in the menorah. So therefore, there was only 3 log in the Pach Shemen, so there wasn't even enough for the first night. So the miracle on the first night was that 3 log is able to last an entire night as if it was 3.5. Now, like I told you, every answer has a flaw. You want to know the flaws in this answer? But I'm going to answer because I like this answer. One answer, one wise guy told me, it's gezel. They, how can they use the Kohen Gadol's oil? It's not gezel. Because the Kohen Gadol for sure made yeush on this over here. When the Greeks came and took over the whole Beit HaMikdash, the Kohen Gadol said, I'll wait till it's over, then I'll go back and get my oil. The pillage, the whole thing, it's a siman asuli dares. They were going to trample the whole temple. There's no question. Zuto shel yam. The Kohen Gadol for sure made Yehusha. We expected after the whole, the blackout in New York City, in the breaking window, the guy thinks he's going to come back, find anything in his store. Because he knows, vayli l'hasron kis. So then when they relied on the Yehusha. Or the Kohen Gadol, you could say, it was mohel to the Beit HaMikdash. However you're going to learn that. I'm not discussing the dinim amonot shebo. That's the easy way to get out of the dinim amonot shebo. Or they could say, hefker bedin hefker, they can mafkir it because they need it. The dinim amonot, we can get out of that. That's not my issue, dinim amonot. My problem is a bigger problem. Hazak Baruch. For the menorah, the pasuk says, shemen katit lamaor. So the Gemara says, we learned again, katit lamaor velo katit lamenachot. The grade of oil that you use for shemen is a higher grade for the menorah than the grade for menachot. So therefore, this oil that they found for the menhav, the Kohen Gadol habitin, it's not good for the menorah. So what do they make it such a big fuss? Oh, they found it. They were chotam shel gadol. It's the wrong oil. It's mincha oil. It's not habitin oil. So now we go and we understand a big chiddush. This is where we answer. There is no example that you see really in halakha in the grades that they give you the way to do this mitzvah ner Hanukkah. The Gemara gives you three grades. Nerishu beto, mehadrin. The only place you see that is on airlines. You have first class, business class, and you have a coach. But when do we have three classes in halakha? What's the law? Tell me what to do. Okay, where do you want to sit? I want to sit in the coach. Okay, nerishu beto, go buy eight candles, like one each night. Am I good? You're good. Now I want to sit business. A business, one per person. I want to sit first class. Oh, mehadrin. Make up your mind. What's the halakha? Why is there such a concept that the law is the law, and then you have a new concept called mehadrin, mina mehadrin? Now, I'll just tell you a side point, a big hadush that Chaim Ben Zion says. Chaim Ben Zion says, if you open up Shulchan Aruch and learn Hilchot Hanukkah, Maran doesn't give you three options. Maran says, how do you light? Bingo, he gives you a mehadrin and a mehadrin. If you don't learn the Gemara, you open up just Shulchan Aruch straight, you'll never know that there's other options. Why did Shulchan Aruch tell me my options? Let him tell me this. If you want to be a simple guy, Nerushu Beto, you want to be more Ma'amir, Madrin. V'yesh Omrim, Madrin. No, he starts off, Halakha, boom. He makes everybody Madrin and Madrin. Why does he deprive me? So, Chaim Ben Zion says, if you open up Harambam, Harambam does give you the three options. Rambam gives you three, but then after the third option, he writes, "V'nahagu b'sfarad," that the custom in Sfarad is to light one menorah per family, and on the first night one, then two, then three, then four. The custom in Sfarad was to light mehadrin min mehadrin. So says Chaim Ben Zion, once already you have a custom, the minhag becomes the deen. So therefore, you cannot tell me there's no other options after the minhag. A guy cannot come today and say, I'm not going to be mehadrin mehadrin. I'm going to use my money different. I'm going to give my money to the yatomim and the almanot. I'm going to do nerishu beto. You have no right to do nerishu beto today. It's asur to do nerishu beto today. Unless you have no candles, of course. But if you have all the candles in front of you, you must do mehadrin. Why? Because that's the minhag. So therefore, Maran is telling you the deen, because the deen today is the minhag. Now, why did they give you that in yad of mehadrin mehadrin? I'll leave you with this over there. The reason why they gave it to you is like this. They found this pak shemen, and it had the chotam of the Kohen Gadol on it. So they know it's only three logs as a miracle. All of a sudden they look on the back of the bottle, and what did it say over here? Extra virgin olive oil, katit. Katit? Why did the Kohen Gadol use katit? He didn't have to use katit. He was able to use the second grade. So they said, since the whole miracle was that the Kohen Gadol was mehadrin min mehadrin on his oil that he used for the mincha, that he didn't have to. So therefore, to commemorate the all this happens because the Kohen Gadol was mahmir on himself. He used the, doesn't say you can't use a higher grade of oil. It says you don't have to use a higher grade of oil. If you want to use, you can. So the Kohen Gadol himself must have been a mehadir. And the whole miracle only happened because the Kohen Gadol was a mehadir. If he wasn't a mehadir, this oil would be invalid. You don't have a miracle. So since the whole miracle took place, al yedid the hidur of the Kohen Gadol to use extra kosher oil that he didn't have to, so therefore the halakha came along and said, to commemorate that, we do a mehadrin, min a mehadrin. That's just a little of the pilpul that we say every year for the Torah of Hanukkah. Baruch Adonai Le'olam. Amen ve'amen. Rabbi Hananya, Berkat Shomer, Asa Baruch Hashem, Shadefichach.